Mr. Cola.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. In order to be granted asylum, there's two things you have to look at. One, if you have established past persecution, and if you have a well-founded fear of future persecution. In this particular case, the Bhatis have established past persecution, and that is our position. The immigration judge, after a lengthy hearing, found both of the petitioners in this case credible in their case. There was a very lengthy testimony with regard to Mr. Bhatia. He testified to the persecution he suffered in Albania. He was a poll observer at one of the elections. He noted certain irregularities at one of these elections. After that, his notations of this, he was pulled over by the police, instructed basically not to make his notes public. In addition to this, two of his uncles were members of the Democratic Party, who also were police officers during the Democratic Party. Once the Socialist Party came into power, they removed them from their positions as police officers. He was threatened with his life. His cousin was killed just prior to his departure from Albania. Also, with regard to
was there any evidence in the record that the cousin was killed because of his Democratic Party affiliation?
Yeah, no,
I know there was a belief that
there was a belief that he was killed as a result of that. There's no actual hard evidence that he was killed as far as being a membership of the Democratic Party. But that's the problem we have with any asylum case, is what led to what situation. And in this particular case, we have that with the explosion by the house. Mrs. Bhatia's primary residence, was a bomb was detonated at the corner of her house, Your Honor. And that was, ironically, on the same day her father was attending a meeting of the Democratic Party. Also,
And so that's your evidence that the explosion was a result of political affiliation because he was at that meeting?
Well, you know, this is one of the problems we have with asylum cases, is that you take one piece and say, is that enough? But what we ask you to do, and what I think this court has said, you take the whole case and look at the whole situation. There's a pattern of conduct starting from day one to the end until they depart from Albania of what happens against this family. Now, if you take that incident, no one sees who plants the bomb. But, I mean, what are the chances of a bomb being placed at that house, at that location, on that night, when the father's at a Democratic function, the father is a former member of the Communist Party, converted over to the Democratic Party, the other members of the family have been threatened and so forth. That's a bizarre coincidence.
So you think that this everyday criminal's comment by Mrs. Bhatia, that was who probably did the explosion or who was responsible for the explosion, would mean what?
These hearings are done through a translator. And the translator the petitioner might say one thing, and it might come across in another way. When they refer to, you know, I do speak Albanian, I know exactly what she says. I don't want to introduce that into the record. I don't think it would be proper. But we shouldn't take those exact words as they came out into the record as meaning that it was just some random act of crime.
Let me ask you this, just on that point, because I appreciate it's a difficult issue, you know, for you to deal with. When that kind of thing happens, when you think the interpreter is not being accurate or accurately translating to English, is there any recourse for you, or did you bring that to the attention of the immigration judge?
You know, again, this is not in this record, but I've done it in other cases where I've noticed the translator is not doing a good job in translating. And the immigration judges have all chastised me with regard to that, saying that I have an unfair advantage or I can, in essence, mislead the court. So I've done that in other cases in the past, and that's, you know, I've been yelled at basically as a result of that. So what am I supposed to do in that regard? I'm not saying it wasn't exactly a completely wrong translation, but maybe better wordage could have been used as far as the translation itself. But that's not in the record here, and it'd be unfair to reflect on that. But we must look at the overall events in Albania at this time. During this time period, the Socialist Party has attacked the Democratic Party. This very court has found that the Socialist Party was, as I quote the court, a rough crowd to deal with. We have found pattern after pattern of the Socialist Party attacking the Democratic Party. And now what the immigration judge did in this case was he took certain portions, say, this alone is not enough, this alone is not enough, this alone is not enough. But we have to take the whole series of events in this regard. Look at what happened to both of these people. Look at what happened to the people surrounding them. In this particular case, the State Department report backs up their claim virtually 100%. It even goes so far as to identify the town where they where they're from, and that another incident occurred in that town with a member of the Democratic Party. So, I mean, that's a rare incident in this case where the State Department report targets a specific town in this case. And I think the immigration judge erred in taking apart their case and taking apart the case piece by piece. He should look at it a whole and say, these are not random coincidences. These are not just pot luck, as they say, but they all attribute to one thing, that they were targeted for, as being members of the Democratic Party. And this goes to the second part of our argument, which deals with the conduct of the hearing. Now, we look at these transcripts, and the black-white letter of the transcript says one thing. But the actual tone of the hearing comes out much more crystal clear if we can get someone just to listen to the tapes. There's no transcriber in the proceedings. There's just a tape. And you can listen to those tapes, and you can hear the tone of this immigration judge. I don't mean to attack the immigration judge, but with all due respect to him, the way he conducted this hearing is just not appropriate in this case. It's not a fact-finding mission. It's not to find the truth, but it was more of a cross-examination. More questions were asked by the immigration judge than I would propose by myself in this question. And there was the point of some of the questions were just beyond belief. There was a whole series of questions dealing with whether or not my client had pigs.
Whether your client had what?
Had pigs on the farm. That's reflected in the transcript. What relevancy does that have to do with anything in this case? The immigration judge went at great lengths to discover where his brothers live, where his sisters live, where his parents live, where his parents' siblings live, where their kids lived, where their cousins lived, what kind of work they were doing. This has absolutely nothing to do with this case.
Well, could it be that the judge was just testing petitioner's knowledge of the area from which she came?
That's fine. You can test the knowledge of where, certain aspects of the political atmosphere there. But to ask where your uncle's...
Well, didn't the petitioners, Mr. Cola, arrive here with fraudulent documents?
Yes, they did, Your Honor.
Now, is it fair then to at least allow an immigration judge with those circumstances as a starting point to make the kind of what you call cross-examination inquiry?
I have no qualms if someone comes in with a fraudulent document to question them at length with regard to that document. And
no, I don't mean if that's an acknowledged point, not to rehash the reentry, but with that as a given, does an immigration judge then have a little more latitude on issues trying to establish just how well you know certain facts to try to bring current the credibility of the applicant?
Correct, but what would be the relevancy, or how could you possibly test out that my uncle's cousin's son resides in a certain part of Greece or in Albania?
We've had some suggestion that judges should become more knowledgeable of the areas from whence. Did this particular immigration judge have any background? Do you know of this area? And you're a regular practitioner in that.
My regular practice, I believe he does have some knowledge of that area.
Geography. Okay. So would it be, and there's been a suggestion that immigration judges need to become more involved with knowledge of geography. I think we've had commentary to that effect. So is that perhaps what a judge was doing here, testing his knowledge perhaps of the area versus what the petitioner was representing?
I don't think that had anything to do with this, because I'll tell you why. Their claim had nothing...
Fine, I'm just asking you. If it doesn't, then that's your answer.
Right, but in this particular claim, it wasn't a particular ethnic group that was singled out or a particular region that was singled out. It was a particular individuals based on an affiliation to a party. But going back to what relevance is if he has a certain type of animal on a farm? What relevance is there if his cousins reside in a certain area? I can understand if he's testing who's the leader of the Democratic Party or who's in charge of this particular branch or this. That's perfectly fine and valid. But at this point, we went beyond all that, and we went into this a virtual cross-examination on items that have really no relevancy to test whether or not they're truthful or not. It was something bizarre.
Well, there were much of the family, extended family, still resides in Albania. Is that
right.
Correct? So it couldn't have had any connection with that, you're suggesting?
The immediate family, mother, father, brother, sister, that's perfectly fine. But when we're going into what occupation is your nephew doing in Greece, what can that possibly have any connection with this claim? I see that my time is up.
Well, you want to reserve some time.
I will, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cola. Ms. Woods.
May it please the court. My name is Shalise Woods. I represent the respondent. In this case, the petitioners are essentially asking the court to apply general dangerous conditions that may exist in Albania. And petitioner's counsel has argued in his brief and here today that on the chance that something might happen to the petitioners if they return to Albania, the court should reverse this case. The record in this case supports the IJ's and the BIA's determination that the petitioners did not subject past persecution, nor did they establish a well-founded fear of future persecution. The incidents to which the petitioners point are, at their worst, could be deemed mere harassment. And this court has never reversed a case under similar circumstances. In fact, under far worse circumstances where physical harm or detention or interrogation actually did occur to ethnic Albanian petitioners, the court has chosen to affirm the IJ's decision not to grant asylum.
Well, counsel really relies heavily on the fact that Mr. Bacci's cousin was murdered. There was the explosion at Mrs. Bacci's family home while she was there, and then the fire at the father's warehouse. Why isn't that enough to show persecution?
As Your Honor pointed out during my opposing counsel's presentation, first of all, the explosion in the home, it occurred in 1998. The petitioners did not leave Albania until 2002. There was no evidence presented that there was a nexus between Duarte Bacci's father's affiliation with the Democratic Party and the explosion, and she herself attributed it to everyday criminals. As to a problem with translation, today is the first that I've heard of that. It wasn't presented to the BIA or to this court in briefing. As to the cousin's murder, I would refer to the court to the Hazanaj case, which was from 2004, where there was an ethnic Albanian petitioner. He was an active member of the Democratic Party. His cousin was murdered. Then his own life was threatened, which did not occur in this case, and his car was set on fire, I believe, the next day. In that case, the IJ did not grant asylum, and this court affirmed that decision. So essentially, while petitioner's counsel is correct that you have to look at the overall circumstances, here, if you look even at everything that happened in the aggregate, it simply doesn't rise to the level of persecution. And as to well-founded fear of persecution, the IJ found two independent reasons why petitioners did not establish that. First of all, changed circumstances in Albania since these incidents occurred in 1997 and 1998. And this court has repeatedly found that that's a legitimate reason to find no well-founded fear of persecution. Also, as I believe one of the members of the panel pointed out, every single family member of both these petitioners, with the exception of one uncle, has remained in Albania, including Duarte's father, to whom the explosion occurred and other types of harassment. And that's a legitimate reason to find that there's no well-founded fear of persecution. As to the IJ's questioning, I simply wanted to speak to the issue of his questioning about the cousins and in-laws and what sort of crops they raised or what sort of livestock they had. Mr. Kola did raise that on the record during the hearing to the IJ. You know, why are we talking about this? And the IJ's explanation on the record was that he wanted to find out what their place in society was and whether they had prospered well since these incidents had occurred. And indeed, he determined that all of the extended relatives who were members of the Democratic Party had continue to live in Albania and prosper there. And that was a basis of his decision in this case. He did not prevent the petitioners from presenting any evidence that would have borne on their persecution claim. Had he done so, there would be a due process problem, but he did not. And unless there are any further questions, I would ask the court to affirm the IJ's decision, deny the petition for review. Thank you.
Kola. Scola, what's your response to that? The inquiry, I guess, about having farm animals went to the issue of whether they can sustain themselves economically. Do you think that that might have been what the IJ was looking at?
No, Your Honor, because if you look at the context of the record and the number of interruptions and the number of I would call irrelevant questions. It's just not, if it was just what do you do for a living or what does your family do for a living, how do they maintain themselves, that's perfectly valid in light of what they're requesting. But just the tone, the conduct, the level of questions, the number of questions, repeated questions, the interruptions of whenever I ask the question, basically telling the government why they're not objecting to certain questions, it's contained in the record. That tells us, and should tell everybody here, that it wasn't a fair hearing. I have no qualms with the judge asking questions about what's relevant, but the number and the viciousness of these questions, I think, goes beyond what was the purpose of this hearing. And the purpose of the hearing was either to find the truth, and if the truth bears that they grant asylum, that's fine. If it doesn't, then that's fine also. But we should have a fair trial. I thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Woods. The case is taken under advisement.